Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
How can you make better, faster decisions? Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Cruz. Welcome to the LeadX Show, where we help you to stand out and to get ahead. I hope you'll remember to tell your friends on Facebook and your friends at work all about the LeadX podcast, because we want to build the LeadX family. And check out leadx.org, where we now offer a new free online course every single day. Recently, we've had Beth Butler teach us how to organize our office space for peak productivity. Dr. Patricia Scott taught us how to engage short attention span audiences. And I personally taught my secrets to overcoming procrastination and even how I manage my email so I can get to inbox zero almost every day, even though I'm getting hundreds of inbound messages. Check out the free course of the day at leadx.org. Today on the show, we're going to hear about how our guest got fired twice. We're going to find out about the real problem with consensus decision making and something called the power of the golden vote. But first, today's tip is focus on frontline leaders. The most important thing to know about employee engagement, which of course is our emotional commitment to our organization and its goals, is that 70% of the variance in how we feel about work is tied to our manager. That's some Gallup research. You can measure engagement using a survey in one big company and get dramatically different results team by team, department by department, location by location. It's the same CEO, it's the same mission statement, the same values, the same compensation system, benefits, the same onboarding and training programs, the same tools, all in the same company. What's the difference? The manager. It's a different leader, team by team, department by department. That's what's going on. That's the difference. Whether someone feels engaged at work is primarily based on their relationship with their boss. As a manager, you must take responsibility for your team's engagement. Yes, it's easy to blame factors outside of your control. A CEO without a vision, a terrible client that's horrible to work for, your tools are old and breaking down all the time. Things are never perfect. There's always going to be things that need to get fixed. But at the end of the day, it's the leader who is the filter of that reality. You are the one that can teach your team how to thrive in imperfect circumstances. If you want your team to be engaged, first, look to yourself. And if you're trying to improve engagement throughout your organization, you need to train the frontline managers. Our guest today is the managing partner of Kates Kessler Organizational Consulting and the co-author of Bridging Organization Design and Performance and also Leading Organization Design. Today, we're going to talk to her about her article, Design Smart Decision-Making into the Organization, which originally appeared in the journal People and Strategy. Our guest is Amy Kates. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Glad to be here.
Now, we have a tradition on the LeadX Show. I ask all of our guests the same first question, and that is, will you tell us a story about a time when you failed, and what did you learn from it? Because I'm very selfish. I want to learn from your failure.
Oh, Kevin, I've had a few of those. As a management consultant specializing in org design, our projects always start with a diagnosis. We conduct interviews and focus groups, and we come back to our clients with findings and recommendations. And I've made this mistake a couple of times over the past 25 years, and both times it was with CEOs. CEOs who were founders of their companies, smart men, but strong personalities. And they called me in to fix some specific problems in their company. During the assessment, I found other issues, and frankly, ones that I thought were more important than what they had come to me with. Well, I came back and told them, and both times they fired me from the project.
Oh, geez.
What I learned is that you always have to deal with the pain that someone is feeling first and build trust by really authentically caring about their issues, the way they define them. And then you can tell your truth at the right time. And, you know, I think this is important advice, whether you're consulting in a sort of formal setting or, frankly, one-on-one in any sort of relationship.
Yeah, I'm taking a note down here. I like the way you phrased it. Tell your truth at the right time. That's the key. Love that advice.
It's all about timing.
And before we chat about your article, the other question I like to ask up front is, you know, to get your advice for a first-time manager who, you know, she really wants to become a better leader, more effective. So, you know, if you could place a phone call back in time to a younger version of yourself, you know, new into the management game, what would you tell yourself?
Well, certainly to myself and to the many, many managers and leaders that I get to observe as we work in companies, you know, around the world, is the first thing to do is recognize you are a leader. To your team, you represent the company. Your role is to provide clarity on the priorities, get resources for the team, coach the team. You know, managers who see themselves as victims of whatever dysfunction is above them, and that dysfunction exists in every company, those who pass that on to their team undermine their credibility and effectiveness. So I often see managers talking about, well, I don't know what they're talking about up there, or, you know, over there, they, you know, their objectives aren't clear. You know, great leaders at any level take accountability, share what they know, admit to what they don't. And I think this is the start to really seeing yourself as a leader and not just a, you know, kind of victim of your circumstance.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, and I'm twinging in pain a little bit because this was for probably the first, I don't know, 10 or even 20 years of my career. While a lot of people, well, myself included, thought like, oh, Kevin, you know, everybody loves working for Kevin. He's a very popular boss, that kind of thing. I later realized that mm-hmm. it was for the wrong reasons. Like, I was more loyal to my team than to the company, right? Than to my boss.
Exactly.
And I should have realized, like, you know what? I'm being paid to lead. So for any reason I feel like I can't represent the interests of the company, well, then I resign. But until then, I need to lead. It's not about being popular or doing the easy thing.
Absolutely.
Now, Amy, I mentioned your books when I read your bio at the beginning of the show, but I wanted to specifically talk about your article, which was called Design Smart Decision-Making into the Organization. And you begin that by saying, leaders of every company struggle with decision rights, defined as the allocation of power and authority across organizational boundaries. So tell us more about this. You know, what are the common struggles around decision rights?
So Kevin, organizations have tension by design. We group work and people into functions or product units or markets or customer teams. And the purpose is to create focus. That focus means that we have differing objectives, initiatives, and time horizons in those groups. So however we draw the boundaries, however we structure the organization between groups, we create silos. And those silos then have to be bridged. And we need to bridge them because the big important decisions around priorities, investments, innovations all take place across organization boundaries. So here's what we know. Companies that make better, faster decisions than their competition win. And there are many ways to speed good decisions at an organizational level. And one of the most effective is to stop chasing consensus and focus on structured collaboration.
Okay, so I'm taking great notes here. And of course, you know, the goal is better, faster decisions. But you're saying, so most people, or a lot of people, I'll say, yeah, including small businesses, mid-sized businesses, they think consensus is the right way to do it. And you're saying, that's not true.
Yeah. You know, consensus and structured collaboration look a lot the same on the surface. We bring people together, debate the issues, everybody's advocating for their perspective, we're generating options, and we're trying to get to a solution. Here's the difference. Consensus means we all have to agree. And that means that each one in the group has a veto. So anyone can stop the decision. So in order to reach agreement, what happens is the group tends to sub-optimize a solution. And common ground might not be the best outcome for the organization. Plus, it takes a long time. So we may not have a good decision, and we may not have a fast decision. What we do have is everybody feels good. That's right. Not really the goal. So structured collaboration means we have the same conversation, but one role has what we call the golden vote. So this is not a simplistic decision, right? This is not me saying, Kevin, here's what I think, but you go make the decision. Mm-hmm. It means that you're accountable for the quality of the decision, for bringing the right voices, the right data, making sure there's really candid conversation. And at the end of the day, if we can't find a solution we align on, you make a well-informed call and we move to execution.
So I assume that in a small organization, the golden vote's going to probably be held by the owner, the president of the firm, unless she's given that power to, hey, you're my VP of sales. This is more of a sales decision. So you're it. But in a larger organization, I mean, how do they figure out who gets the golden vote? Because I can imagine it's sort of, I'm just making this up, but let's say we're rolling out a new CRM system through the company. Yep. Well, marketing thinks they should drive that selection and rollout. Sales is like, no, our people are playing in it every day. You're going to have IT saying this is a software product. So who gets the vote?
It's a great example. Very, very, very true. So what we counsel our clients to do is to delegate as much as possible, right? To trust in one another and let go and say, look, you make the decision unless there's these kinds of issues involve me, but otherwise I trust you to make a good decision. But the reality is there's maybe a dozen kinds of questions such as around CRM. How are we going to engage our customers? How are we going to make decisions about what kind of marketing we do and when? In which it's not a simplistic delegation, and we do need to wrestle it through. So what we say is spend time on those. And the most important thing is to design the conversation we're going to have ahead of time. We know we're going to have these kind of conflicts. Let's legitimize the conflict that IT, marketing, e-commerce, et cetera, all have different objectives. Let's acknowledge that rather than pretend that's a problem. And then let's say, what's the conversation we need to have? What data do we need to bring that might inform and influence one another? And again, at the end of the day, if it's marketing that gets the golden vote, marketing is accountable then for the quality of decisions we make around that set of CRM issues. But there's no fast way to do it. It really means actually investing in having this practice.
Right, right. So are there like model organizations out there, companies, nonprofits, whomever, that you could point to and say, you know, part of their success is because they've got this figured out and they're making great decisions quickly?
Everyone struggles with decisions. And, you know, a company that we've worked with for many years who really puts a lot of time and effort into this is Nike. They have a very complex five-dimensional matrixed organization, and they really see the value of those conversations at the intersections and work through these kinds of decision nodes and decision rights and communicate them. And it's a constant process because as strategy changes, as the environment changes, competitors, then we need to shift power, we need to shift decisions, or we need to create new conversations. So this work, unfortunately, is never done.
Wow. And so now I want to boil this down. Like with everything you've learned, you know, with the larger organizations and your mm-hmm. clients, you know, is there a way to simplify this for that small business person that, you know, they might only have 50 people in their company or 25 people in their company?
I think the hardest transition, particularly for a founder-led company, an entrepreneurial startup company that is starting to mature and become complex and need to put in management process and business process, is to really make that shift from the founder or a very small group at the top making decisions together to really empowering, delegating, and creating an infrastructure to push decision-making down. We work with a lot of companies, and it could be even up to $500 million in revenue, 1,000 people in the company, where decisions are kept very close at the top, and there's a group that works together, you know, for a long time, and it's very efficient until it's not. And you all of a sudden you realize we don't have anyone else to make decisions. We become a bottleneck. So the way is, you know, awareness is the first step. So that's, again, why those diagnostic and assessments are so important, to bring the voice of the organization. What's the problem to solve? And then to really work through decision principles, identifying the key issues that are high value, high risk, and then working through, again, what's the conversation we need? Who are the players in the room? And who gets the golden vote? And there's a coaching aspect that, you know, in our work to those leaders to say, you got to let go.
Yeah, that's great. And LeadX listeners, what Amy just said, I mean, this is going to be our challenge of the day, no matter, you know, whether you're leading a team of five or 50,000. Awareness is the first step. So today, you know, let us be mindful. Let us think about how our decisions being made. If we want them to be made better or faster, you know, are we holding on to those decision-making rights? Are we giving them to the right people? So let's just start by pausing today and think through the last few big decisions we've had to make around here. How were they made? Mm-hmm. So Amy, how can our listeners find out more about you, your books, and your company?
Please visit our website, kateskessler.com, KateskesLer. We have a lot of articles and blogs that you can download for free. Our four books are all on Amazon and available. And in November 2017, LinkedIn will release 17 videos on org design that we've made for their learning platform. And these will be a great introduction for anyone interested in exploring more about organization design and effectiveness.
That's fantastic. Amy, thanks for coming on to the LeadX Show.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me here.
Friends, before we go, remember, at LeadX, we're on a mission to give free leadership training and professional development to everyone, anywhere, at any time. Visit leadx.org, that is, to check out our course of the day. Or visit leadx.org/Branson to download our free ebook, Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership. And please take one quick minute, go to leadx.org/subscribe to subscribe and leave a rating for this podcast, the LeadX Leadership Show, leadx.org/subscribe. Until next time, remember, you have incredible influence on those around you, your family, your team at work, your community. We all need you to lead mindfully. How will you lead today?